Prices Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Sumich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in here, Sunday edition of Ready, Set, Bet. I am Mike Sumich. We are waiting on Matt Brown here, as he's going to join us shortly. But we're going to kick it off here talking about everything that happened over the Saturday of sports and set you up for a monster Sunday as well. We've got action across the NBA, across the NHL. We're going to talk a little bit NFL Combine as well. We had monster horse racing yesterday. We got to cover that. We've got another Kentucky Derby prep coming here in the Rebel from Oaklawn Park as well. So an absolutely loaded Sunday of sports. We'll obviously talk about the Cognizant, the golf tournament going on as well, as we've got Shane Lowry, currently your favorite, sitting on that board as well. But we will kick it off yesterday in what happened inside the NCAA basketball arena, as we had multiple top 25 matchups. We saw Arizona take care of business at home against Kansas. They were about a 10.5-point favorite at tip in that game, and they really rolled in the second half. It was another one of those performances from Kansas that was just a little bit head-scratching. This is one of the teams that we expected to be very, very good heading into the season, with Peterson leading the way. And Peterson played well for Kansas in this spot. It was everybody else that just couldn't get it going. So Arizona able to get revenge at home. And it's a tale of a Kansas team now that we have seen two separate versions of. At home, this is a very, very good Kansas basketball team. On the road, they have consistently struggled. And when you're heading to tournament time and you've got this much talent, but you're not going to play any games at home, that has to be one of the concerns for Kansas fans as they head in there. Another top 25 matchup, Texas Tech taking on Iowa State. Texas Tech gets the win 82-73 on the road. And this one was a surprise to me. Iowa State, 10-point favorite heading into this game as well. Texas Tech without Toppin, able to find a way to get the W. Another team that we're going to hear a lot about come tournament time in both Iowa State and Texas Tech. And this is a Tech team that, without Toppin, you have to kind of wonder, all right, what are we going to get from this Texas Tech team? The win on at Iowa State has to give you some pretty good vibes heading into the tournament. Iowa State, I'm not worried about this. This is one of those spots where you lose some of these games in college basketball. Still a very good basketball team, very good defensively. Gave up 82 to Tech. That was really the big issue for them there. And a matchup of the two top teams in the SEC, we saw Arkansas head into Florida. And Florida just, I put the pedal to the metal here. I mean, this is a Florida basketball team. We saw them win it all last year, cut down the nets. They have picked up steam as we've gone through this season, and you saw them be able to absolutely run out Arkansas early in this game, 53-34 at half. They add on to that in the second half, 58-43, end up putting 111 points on the board. I said yesterday, to me, there's really three class teams. I may have to revisit that statement. I think Florida may be cracking that top three for me, and you add them to Michigan, Duke, and Houston. As Florida, I do believe, kind of putting themselves in a situation to be considered a legit contender inside the tournament there in March. Alabama, Tennessee, also top 25 matchup yesterday. Bama gets the win on the road, 71-69. If you told me this game went under, I would have told you Tennessee won, but Alabama able to win despite the game going under the total. Big road win there for Alabama. Over on the horse racing side, I want to talk about the Fountain of Youth. It was the major race yesterday in the Kentucky Derby preps. We saw multiple horses that I think have an opportunity to be able to win the Kentucky Derby run in that race. It came down to the number 4 Commandment, trained by Brad Cox, Irad Ortiz Up, and the number 6 Chief Wallaby, trained by Bill Mott and ridden by Junior Alvarado, the two that teamed up for the Kentucky Derby win last year. And this was just simply a tale of two trips. If you go back and you watch the replay on the first turn, Commandment able to sit 2 wide and then 1 wide coming out of that turn. Chief Wallaby 4 wide into the turn, 3 wide coming out of the turn, has to make a middle move on the back stretch, and then force 4 wide again into the second turn while Commandment able to ride the rail. Commandment gets 101 buyer, which is the biggest buyer that we've seen from any of these horses on the Triple Crown Trail. And Chief Wallaby ends up with 100, missing by just a half length in that race. If you look at the Trackus information, Chief Wallaby ran 27 additional feet in that race. That equates to about 3 lengths. So that means that if they ran the exact same distance, Chief Wallaby would have won the race by about 2.5 lengths. I said Chief Wallaby's going to win the Derby coming into that race. I am not getting off that stance. I think Chief Wallaby is still the best 3-year-old, should be number 1 on the majority of the boards. And I'm excited to see what he does
when he stretches out to a mile and a quarter. It's a horse that should have the ability to get more distance. And this was also the first time Chief Wallaby ran around two turns as well. So I thought he was wildly impressive. I love Commandment as well. I think Commandment's a very, very good horse. We're going to have some distance concerns. We heard from Brad Cox before the race that Commandment, we're going to see if he's going to be able to get the distance. Hadn't been tested at a mile and a 16th. He was able to get that distance. And it was interesting watching Irad Ortiz after the race as well. He continued to ride Commandment for the additional 16th of a mile, just to see if that mile and an eighth was inside his range. It looked like it was based on the gallop out. So I do think Commandment stretches out well to a mile and an eighth. Now the big question will be on the first Saturday in May, can he stretch out all the way to a mile and a quarter? One other horse I just want to kind of give a shout out from that race, Napoleon Solo, who was the other favorite of the trio, he broke terribly. I think this is a race that you just cross out. It was the first time he was on the track since a dominant grade one Champagne victory. I'm not going to really hold anything against Napoleon Solo in this spot. I'm interested to see him coming back. I assume it's going to be a Kentucky Derby prep based on what we saw from him at two with a better break. I think he is once again going to be relevant inside that market. Over in the NBA yesterday, we did see the Lakers absolutely rock the Warriors. This is a Warriors team that's just not playing at full strength right now. It's going to be interesting to see what they do when they're able to get Steph back, but a nice win by the Lakers, being able to go from gate to wire. If you look at today's action inside the NBA, we do have our marquee game of the day, tip at 10 a.m., so just 45 minutes from now, the Spurs taking on the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. Right now, the Spurs laying a point and a half, total sitting around 227 and a half. I'm leaning toward the Spurs here. I kind of like them as it right now. It looks like you can get a pick in the Circa market. I like them as the short favorite slash the pick in this spot. Their defense is just unbelievable when Wemby is manning the middle, and the Brunson shots, the floaters that he gets, the short turnarounds, all of those are going to be contested in a way that Brunson does not usually see by someone who has the athleticism and the length that Wembanyama has. So I like the Spurs in this spot. We'll see if they're able to go into Madison Square Garden and get the win. Over on the college basketball side, just a couple ranked teams in action today. We've got number 6 Purdue heading into Ohio State, and what is a very big game for Ohio State, a possible statement game for them as they're trying to punch their ticket to March Madness here. Right now, we see Purdue as a short favorite, about 5.5 in that spot. I'm leaning toward Ohio State here. It feels like this is one of those games where the Buckeyes need to come out and throw the kitchen sink at Purdue. If they're able to win this game, it most likely cements their resume to be able to get into the dance. But without a win like this, it's going to be hard-pressed to believe that Ohio State is going to be able to really force themselves forward and be able to get in. You have a ranked team at home. This is the spot where you have to show up if you are Ohio State and you want to get the victory. The other ranked game here in the action today at 12:45 tip Pacific, 3:45 Eastern, Michigan State going to take on Indiana here in this spot. Michigan State 13th in the nation, currently 23-5. Indiana, very similar story to what we've got on Ohio State side. This is an Indiana team that's 17-11, just 8-9 in the Big Ten. They need a statement win today as well. It's another spot where if they win, they add the Michigan State win to their resume. All of a sudden, Indiana, who is currently the last team in on the Joe Lunardi bubble watch, would have that win to be able to kind of say, okay, we deserve to be there. We don't need to make a run inside the Big Ten tournament to be able to prove that we should be in the dance. Another spot here where I'm willing to take the short dog. This was 3.5 overnight. We saw Indiana money come in to push this down to 2.5. I almost like the money line here. If I'm playing anything, go with that plus 130 number versus taking the 2.5 points. Again, this is almost a must-win situation for Indiana. We see this a lot late in the college basketball season. When you have these teams at home that need big wins to be able to get into the dance, often that's a spot where you see some of their best efforts of the entire season. So I like both the dogs in the Big Ten there today as well. So we'll keep an eye on both of those games as we get going. We do have those nice 10 a.m. tips, which we'll be able to watch during the show. Over on the ice, one game I want to make sure I shout out here because I did play this game. We've got a 10 o'clock puck drop, the Vegas Golden Knights heading into Pittsburgh to take on the Penguins. We faded the Penguins yesterday, took the Rangers plus 110. They were able to get it done in a shootout despite having a disastrous first period, which featured 16 penalty minutes for the Rangers. The Vegas Golden Knights got called out 2 nights ago. And now they have to travel into Pittsburgh. They get a team on short rest in a back-to-back spot here. This is where the Knights have to respond to their coach, have to show that they do have that clear caliber or talent advantage when you compare themselves to Pittsburgh. And when you look on the Pittsburgh side, I mentioned this yesterday, I still think the market hasn't fully corrected for what Sidney Crosby's value is to this hockey team. He was placed on the IR after the injury over in the Olympics. They do not have the offensive depth to be able to take the loss of Sidney Crosby. Also very important in the faceoff circle for them. Very important when you're looking at penalty kill as well. This is just a team in Pittsburgh where I do not trust that they can keep the run going that they had during the first half of the season without having Sidney Crosby aboard. So I do like the Vegas Golden Knights. I laid the goal and a half. I want to try and find as big of a plus money price here as I can. So I laid -1.5 with Vegas, +165 today. So like the Vegas Golden Knights quite a bit here in this spot. We've got a loaded show for you here. Greg Peterson going to join us. VSiN College Hoops betting expert. He has that pod every day, goes through every game. Looking forward to hear what he has to say about this. We've got Joe Cirillo joining us as well, one of my old friends from doing this exact show with him. He's going to jump on too. We had the College Hoops contest kickoff yesterday. Both of them involved in that contest. Joe ended up going 3-2. He's got a couple college basketball plays for us today as well. And finally, we're going to be joined by Zach Cohen as well to talk a little bit of NBA. We'll talk the MVP market, the rookie of the year market, and if there's any teams that he can see really being able to make a run from the bottom half of the standing, specifically in the East. I want to talk Tatum with him as well. I've got a big Pistons ticket to win the Eastern Conference playoffs. I want to know if this is what we're going to get from Tatum and what to expect from Boston coming off that prolific shooting performance from the floor. We are just getting started here at Ready, Set, Bet. Make sure you stick around with us here. We have got an absolutely loaded 3 hours. Looking forward to seeing you on the other side.
Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in here on a Sunday edition of Ready, Set, Bet. I am Mike Somich, and he is Will Hill. Will Hill going to join us for a segment here to talk a little bit about college hoops. We're going to get a little baseball action at the end, Will, but I do want to start out. Well, just general takeaways from yesterday. Monster day on the hardwood. We saw Florida absolutely dominate in their win over Arkansas. We saw a very good performance from Duke over Virginia. Did anyone jump out to you yesterday as teams that kind of moved up your power ratings as we head into the tournament here?
Yeah, I'll continue to reiterate what I've been saying. I just don't see the upsets once we get to March. These good teams are really good. So maybe you get one of these like 4, 5, or 6 seeds get picked off if that does anything for you. But as far as like the 1s, 2s, and even the 3s losing early, man, I don't know. I don't see it. We didn't get it last year. It was very chalky, and I could see a very similar tournament this year. And to me, the story of the day is everybody's darling right now. Florida, I made the mistake of fading them a couple times thinking maybe this was the top of the market. Texas, I took the points on Wednesday night, was getting 7.5 and led by 3 pretty late in the game with 6 minutes to go. And Florida ran away and hit and won the game and won it comfortably. And then again, yesterday, what they did to a pretty talented Arkansas team. They made Arkansas, I mean, that looked like a 116 game. And that's Arkansas. That's a team with a lot of talent with NBA guys on it. So I think the question now, and I'll throw it back to you, the 3 1s are locked in stone: Arizona, Michigan, Duke. UConn only has 3 losses. I know the Big East is much softer than the SEC, but Florida has 6 losses and did lose to UConn head-to-head. And maybe, you know what, they just put them in the same bracket, so it's a moot point anyway. But who in your mind has the inside track here for that final 1 seed?
Yeah, it's funny when you mention that because, to me, I think UConn has the better overall resume. However, Florida is clearly the better team right now. And I think when you look at who gets that final 1 seed, obviously the conference tournaments are going to make a difference here. But if they both win their conference tournament, I'd be prone to give it to Florida. I just like what they have done recently more than what UConn's been able to do. You mentioned the depth in the SEC versus the depth in the Big East. If they're able to go into the SEC and run that tournament after winning the conference outright in the regular season as well, it is hard for me to kind of deny them that 1 seed, especially considering they won the national title last year. And I think we do probably have this solved on the court. To your point, I think they end up as the 1 and the 2 in that quote unquote fourth region so that you get them in that final game to make the final four if they are able to both get through their paths. But I, because of the way this is run, it feels like Florida has the kind of the one seed in their own hands if they can be able to run the table. Now, I said something yesterday to your point. I only felt like there were three teams that could win a national title yesterday. And I left Arizona off that. I think Duke and Michigan are clearly in that group. I put Houston in that group as well because of what they're able to do defensively. Florida feels like they might be that fourth team kind of cracking up into that group that I think can win. I don't expect a ton of upsets. I think this is one of the downsides of the NIL era. We're not going to have the teams that have eight seniors that have played together for 5 years. We're not going to have those deep middle major teams against these younger power conference teams that we see able to produce the deeper runs in the tournament. If I asked you the same question, how many teams do you think could win the national title today? Is my list of three too short? Should I be adding more teams? Does Florida make that leap for you? Who would be on your list of national title contenders right now?
I think once you get outside of five, you got a couple fringe teams, but I will include Arizona. I know they don't shoot a ton of threes, but they're up. They're good is very good. As people like to say, they still have a very high upside. I saw them in person when they played UConn, and I know UConn was down a couple stars, but Arizona to me is good enough where they could win it. So Arizona, Michigan, Duke, I'll throw UConn, I'll throw Florida. And I think after that, Iowa State, boy, that was a terrible performance at home against Texas Tech. I actually laid the points in that game thinking, you know what, eventually with no top in, Texas Tech is going to be in some trouble. And Texas Tech just led the game basically wire to wire and led it comfortably. So I wouldn't put Iowa State. To me, they're a fringe team, probably no. Illinois, probably no. I don't love Houston. I think they have too many droughts. So I think five is a pretty safe list. If you got somebody outside of UConn, Florida, Duke, Michigan, Arizona win the title, I don't know, a month or so from now, 5 weeks from now, I'd be pretty surprised. So I think five is a pretty solid list.
I miss the days of the 20 on that list where you can take shots with 30-1s, 35-1s, right, being able to go into the tournament. It just does not feel like we're in that current era of college basketball. We can take those chances. Now, moving forward to today, we've got a couple ranked teams in action inside the Big Ten, both of them shorter favorites on the road here against two teams that, in my mind, are almost playing for their tournament life. It feels like Indiana, who's sitting as the last team in right now, needs a marquee win. They can get that today at home against a good Michigan State team. Ohio State taking on Purdue, another team that feels like they kind of need this win to be able to move forward. When you look at these two games, is there one of them that jumps out to you? I like the dog in both of them. Is there one that jumps out to you where you like the dog more than the other?
I like the dog in both too. And boy, what a soft bubble it is. The fact that you have Indiana and Ohio State still kind of with their own destiny in their hands, because man, these are not great teams. These teams don't have great resumes. Really. It's a really soft bubble. I like Indiana. I think from a matchup standpoint, Michigan State, they surrender a lot of threes. I think Indiana at home will probably shoot the three better. And again, it's a testament to how soft the bubble is. The fact that you could lose to Northwestern and lose some of the games they've lost recently and still be right there. But I think Indiana gets it done at home. I would lean towards Ohio State. Haven't pulled the trigger on that yet, but I'm certainly not laying the points with a Purdue team I don't love. You got to question their motivation this time of the year. I know that they're coming off the loss against Michigan State, so maybe you get their best punch, but I figure Ohio State is probably up for the task. And Ohio State, there's not much there in their resume. I think one quad, one win. They really need to pad that resume to get in. So would lean towards both dogs. I like Indiana more so than Ohio State.
It's going to be interesting watching this Big Ten come to a close, watching the SEC come to a close. Again, if you look at bracketology right now, there are five SEC teams in the last four in and the next four in. So five of those eight are SEC teams. You can't play each other in that first round. So you have to wonder how the committee is going to handle that. And there are four Big Ten teams that are sitting in that group of 16 of the last eight in, last eight out as well. So going to be interesting to see what they do as they move through there. I do want to ask you a question about Miami of Ohio. One of those darlings inside college basketball, currently undefeated. Do they need to win their conference tournament to get into the tournament? When you look at the resume, it's not great. You can only play who's in front of you, so you don't want to take that away from them. They are undefeated at this point, but is this a league that could possibly get two bids if they lose, or do they need to go undefeated and run the table to be able to get in the dance?
I think if they ran the table in the regular season, they're in. With how soft the bubble is, I know there's really not much teeth there to that resume. I get that. But does the committee, is there a human element of, you know what, we don't want to take enough, all this crap here for leaving them out when they ran the table. So I think as long as they go undefeated in the regular season. Now, if they had lost the other night to Western Michigan, which they really could have and probably should have, I don't know if you watched that game Friday night. Western Michigan had every opportunity to put them away, and then Miami wins it at the buzzer on a layup. They get the roll, and the game goes their way. One loss, they'll be fine. If they lost a second game, I'd be very nervous, but I don't think – and watch them win the tournament and it'd just be moot anyway. I think if as long as they run the table in the regular season, they will get in. Maybe the committee throws them in Dayton, but with how soft the bubble is and they go on B, and just look at the teams around them. Like Auburn continues to lose. We talk about Indiana, Ohio State, how soft their resume is. Cal yesterday at home gets blown out by Pitt. I just think with the amount of wins, the quantity of wins, and just almost by default here, they would probably get in. Now, maybe the committee puts them in Dayton in the play-in scenario. I could see that. But where do you kind of stand with all this?
Look, the resume says no. It kind of feels like you have to, though, right? Like, you cannot take away from these teams who were able to do this and set the precedent that you can have this exemplary season, but we're just going to leave you out. They're in the top 25, in the AP, in the coaches poll. It feels like you have to at least include them in the last four in there, even if they do take a loss at some point in the conference tournament. I agree with you. I think they need to go undefeated in the regular season to kind of lock it up. And, you know, as the college hoop season is heating up, the best betting stretch of the year is right around the corner. Right now, VSiN offering our College Hoops Mania special. Get VSiN Pro access for through May 1st for just $29.99. With VSiN Pro, you'll get daily best bets from all the hosts, real-time splits from both DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, plus our March Madness betting guide, including team portfolios for every single tournament team, key trends for the tournament, expert bracket and future strategies, as well as best bets from VSiN top analysts. Make sure you sign up today over at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe to be able to get pro access now through March 1st for just $29.99. Will, before we let you go, AL East, we talked about it at nauseam yesterday, went through every single team. I like the Blue Jays. Matt Brown's on the Orioles. Sounds like you're on the Orioles as well here.
I like the Orioles. I really do. I think you get Shane Baz out of Tampa away from that minor league ballpark. He's a guy who's got a lot of pedigree, a lot of talent. Kyle Bradish getting some Cy Young buzz. Rodgers was tremendous last year. And remember a few years ago, they won 102 games or 101. And then the year after, they won 92. Last year, everything went wrong for them. I just think you throw that year out. They've got a lot of young positional talent. You add Pete Alonso, you add Taylor Ward. I think they might lead the league in home runs. The pitching's pretty good. I would not be surprised if they won 93, 94 plus games and won this division. I think 5-1 or so is a great bet.
Yeah, the AL East is going to be interesting. Anything but the Yankees out of the gate. I want to see that rotation get healthy before I start to get involved in anything else there. He is Will Hill. Thank you very much for joining us this segment, talking through college basketball. We'll be right back here on the other side. Ready, Set, Bet, Sunday edition, taking you through everything you need to know in the sports betting world.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in here. Ready, Set, Bet on a Sunday as we take you all across the sports betting world. Thanks to Will Hill joining us from the Progressive Guest Line. Last segment, we've got Greg Peterson on deck here. He'll be joining us next segment to talk everything college hoops. But before we move on from college hoops, I do want to kind of revisit that discussion around the national title. Right now, you really have a subset of four teams. The only four teams currently sitting under 10-1 is Michigan, your current favorite at +330, Duke at +350, Arizona at +475, Florida at +800. You have Houston and UConn sitting at +1100 and +1600 respectively as well. That's really where the list ends for me. And this is something that I miss around college basketball. We had teams that could kind of surprise us from the three line, from the four line, and be able to compete for a national title. We saw UConn's dominance back-to-back years. We saw Florida last year be able to get it done. Now we're sitting here in a year where it just doesn't look like there's any of these crazy long shots that you want to go to. Even teams that are sitting down there to be able to win the tournament in, like, let's talk about Arkansas, who I love the backcourt for, but we just saw them get destroyed by Florida. They're sitting at 60-1. If you want a Michigan State team that's playing today, they're 45-1. Honestly, if you wanted to go crazy, to me, the only team that's outside the 20-1 number that I have any interest in is Kansas. And Kansas is sitting at 25-1, which still feels too short for what they should be. The beauty of Kansas is that if you can figure out how Peterson can play with the rest of this team, and if you get the Peterson that we saw at the high school tape where he was absolutely phenomenal, the talent is there. But again, they've not been able to have success on the road that I'd like to see for a team that's heading into the dance. And it's a little bit of a bummer for me. I enjoy having variance in college basketball. We've gotten used to having variance in college basketball. And yes, we still have some variance with these teams being able to jump up and win national titles. But with the NIL era, with the way that recruiting is currently, we are seeing these cream of the crop teams rise to the top during the regular season. And it's very easy to kind of point out, okay, this is the small bucket of teams that could possibly be able to win the NCAA tournament. And that makes it less fun to bet. I will take a couple segment bets. I think that is where you can try and make some money here when you get to the college basketball tournament, when you get to March Madness, when the brackets are out. Then you can look at the specific regions and say, maybe you could take a price coming out of the East. Maybe you could take a price coming out of the South. So I will take a peek at the brackets once those come out, but it's hard for me to pull the trigger on someone to win the national title here when, honestly, it feels like the teams who should be sitting at short numbers are sitting at short numbers, and it's hard to make a case for one of those teams that are going to be coming from way back in the pack. All right, let's transition over to golf here. Shane Lowry currently atop the leaderboard. He is sitting at 13 under, and he had some fun with some reporters yesterday. Let's hear what he said following his round at the Cognizant.
How do you explain your success in particular in Florida?
You know, Scotty doesn't play that much around Florida, maybe. yeah, I just like Florida golf.
You got to love the honesty there from Shane Lowry. Anytime Scotty is not in a tournament, it obviously makes it quite a bit easier for the rest of the field here. He is tied atop the leaderboard with Austin Smotherman right now, who's sitting at 13 under as well. You've got two players sitting at 12, Nico Echevarria and Tyler Moore. Jimmy Stanger sitting at 11 under. Those are your top five right now. And if you are like me, and I'll call myself a casual golf fan who has become more and more of a golf fan because of doing this show with Matt Brown and how much he is into the golf side of betting, I'll be honest, you probably don't know those guys. I don't really know any of those guys atop the leaderboard. I did decide to take a shot in this tournament. We talked about it a little yesterday. The brothers Højgaard are the second and third best players, most pedigreed players, I should say, inside of this tournament. Nikolai Højgaard currently sitting at 8 under. He did birdie a hole today. I took him top 10 at plus 105. You can still get a top 10. It's been bet out a little bit, though. Now we're seeing a minus 198 after that early birdie. So I would avoid the top 10 with him now, but I do think he's someone that you can look at to make a move. Plus 240 to get into the top five. Feels like he might have a little too much work to do. Probably would need to go 5-6 under and get some help to be able to get to that point. So it's tough to try and recommend a top five play on him right now. Going back to the top here, Shane Lowry plus 148 to win the tournament. Austin Smotherman sitting at plus 365. If you don't have any action, you're going to watch it. You want a little sweat. I don't hate the price on Lowry. Again, the golfers that are chasing him just are not nearly as tenured. Nico Echevarria, very good golfer, sitting one stroke back. But outside of that, the rest of the top 10 here, just not nearly as interesting to me as what we've seen from the other pieces of this. So I do think Lowry at plus 148, not a terrible price to look at if you are looking to bet the winner outright of this tournament. I do want to touch on the NHL before we get back to college hoops and talking with Greg Peterson in the next segment here. We have a full slate of hockey games. We got six of them headed to the ice here. The first puck drop going to be at 10 a.m. That is the Las Vegas Golden Knights taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins. I went 3-0 in the NHL yesterday. We're going to try and do it again today. We'll get to the What's the Puck segment at the top of the next hour. But this game's already going to be puck drop, so we want to talk about it a little bit early here. Las Vegas got called out a couple nights ago by their coach, not happy with the performance that we've seen from this Golden Knights team. They travel across the country for an early puck drop, taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins, a team that played above expectation the entire first half of the season. A team that does not have scoring depth from top to bottom, and a team that just lost Sidney Crosby at the Olympics for an extended period of time. They also played last night. Well, I should say yesterday afternoon, they lost to the Rangers in a matinee game in a shootout there. They had every advantage in that hockey game. The Rangers took 16 minutes worth of penalties in the first period. After the first period, it was 10-2 in shots. It was 15-2 in shots at one point. In favor of the Pittsburgh Penguins, they still found a way to lose that hockey game 3-2 in the shootout, where they did not score a goal in the shootout as well. this Vegas Golden Knights team should be pumped up for this hockey game. This is a Penguins team I am looking to fade. I don't think the market has properly corrected. We saw that game yesterday where the Rangers opened a favorite. It flipped favorites to the Penguins. You saw the market go toward the Penguins. They ended up losing that hockey game as a favorite because of that move. Today, this game opened up Vegas -162. Again, we're seeing Penguins money. I just don't agree with what the market is doing with Pittsburgh right now. I'm going to lay the goal and a half with the Vegas Golden Knights. You get that at +165. If you want to take Las Vegas in regulation, you get that at +105. I don't mind that either. I think this is a Las Vegas team that is simply better than the Pittsburgh Penguins and have the opportunity to be able to respond to the coaches' tongue lashing that they got after their prior game. Very talented Knights team and a rested Knights team versus a team in Pittsburgh that did play yesterday. Again, over in the NBA, we do have one 10 a.m. tip just 15 minutes away from the ball going in the air at Madison Square Garden. The San Antonio Spurs, Victor Wembanyama, going to take on the Knicks. Right now, a pick'em out there in the market. Total sitting at 227. This is a Spurs team, which I think is a legitimate title contender. It feels like it's a year too early, but what we've seen, not from Wembanyama, but from Castle, to me, makes me believe that this is a Spurs team that has the depth to be able to make a serious playoff run. We've seen them consistently give trouble to the Oklahoma City Thunder. That is going to be the main rival. We obviously have Denver as well. That'll be a fun series if we end up getting Denver, San Antonio in the semis out there in the West for the right to face Oklahoma City. But it's not out of the question that San Antonio can actually catch Oklahoma City in the Western Conference as well. So you got to keep an eye on that. As for today's game, this is a Spurs defense that I just think is going to frustrate the Knicks. It's going to be hard for Brunson to be able to get his floaters in the lane, get his turnaround shots with Wembanyama manning the paint and his length inside there. On the other side, I like this Spurs offense and how it sets up against this New York Knicks defense. We also get these big-time performances from big-time players when we were at Madison Square Garden. With everything we've learned about Wembanyama over the last couple of years in the NBA, he's one of those guys that is going to care. I think he plays well today. I like the Spurs as a pick'em today. They were a short favorite last night, laying the point and a half, but we have seen Knicks money come in. I'll buck the market trend here. I'll go with San Antonio minus the 110 for this 10 a.m. tip-off. Absolutely loaded day in sports here. We've got a couple college basketball games. We talked about both of those. The first one going to go at 10:30 here. We heard Will Hill last segment. He likes Ohio State. I like Ohio State. To me, this is a spot where Ohio State kind of needs a win, and it's a Purdue team that has not been playing well down the stretch here. I think Ohio State has an opportunity to punch their ticket to the dance in what, as Will said, is a very weak college basketball bubble. If they can get the win today, they are going to go dancing. This is one of those kitchen sink games. We see it every single year late in the college basketball season. Home teams that are on the bubble that need a win, overranked opponents, play very good basketball because this is where you're going to get everything you can out of that team. I like both of the dogs in the Big Ten today. I think Ohio State starts it off here. We'll take the 5.5 points with the Buckeyes today against Purdue. And I'm excited to talk to Greg Peterson, who is going to be joining us next segment here. We'll talk about both of these games inside the Big Ten. I want his take on how he feels about this Miami of Ohio team, whether or not they deserve to be in the dance. If they do go down in that conference tournament and are unable to get the automatic bid, I want to hear how he thinks about my champions thought here, whether or not it is just three or four teams that can win a national title, or if we have more teams that can sneak up. And of course, we've got all of the college basketball tournaments to start to preview. We're going to keep an eye on the Big East tournament. We're going to keep an eye on the SEC tournament as that fourth number one seed feels like it is up for grabs in both of those tournaments with UConn and Florida playing. So a lot to get to here on the college basketball front. I can't wait to do it next segment with Greg Peterson. Make sure you're checking out his podcast and his articles every single day up on VSiN.com. You can get college basketball plays from him. We'll find out after the break what college basketball plays he likes for today. Stick with us. Ready, set, bet.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in here, Ready, Set, Bet Sunday edition. I am Mike Somich as we plow forward with what is going to be a very busy Sunday in the sports betting world, as well as a very busy month on the hardwood. Yes, it is time for all of those college basketball conference tournaments to start tipping off there across the country. We also have a loaded slate of games today as well. And we've talked about a couple Big Ten games. We'll touch on those with our guest here, Greg Peterson, joining us from the Progressive Guest Line. But one thing I love about Greg's work, it's not just the ranked teams we care about, Greg. We want to talk about everybody across the entire country. So looking forward to talking a little mid-major action as well. But I am going to start with the ranked teams because I've got bets in both of these games over in the Big Ten. Purdue heading into Ohio State, taking on the Buckeyes here. Right now, 5.5, 6.5, depending on where you are shopping. Feels like the Buckeyes kind of need to win this basketball game if they want to head to the dance as an opportunity to really cement their resume. What do you make of this Purdue-Ohio State game today, Greg?
Yep, I did take the points with Ohio State. I found a 6.5 overnight. I personally made my number 5. So if you're right now seeing 5.5, which I'm mostly seeing in the market, I still would be looking at a play here. You mentioned it with Ohio State. Boy, do they need this game. But what really pushed me over the top with Ohio State, getting back to John Mobley, that's your number 2 scorer, give you 15 points per game, shooting before the injury, 40% from three-point range. And it's a team that has really good balance that does the little things well. For Iowa State, they shoot over 77% of the free throw line. They turn the ball over less than 11 times per game. They actually do a really nice job in terms of guarding the three. And Purdue's actually been a better team defensively away from home rather than at home. But it's a Purdue team as well that they can be at a little bit down low. They're outside the top 200 in terms of opponents' two-point shooting percentage. Ohio State can be a little bit hit or miss with that three-point shooting, but guys like Devin Royal, and I know that he was dealing with a little bit of illness, should be able to go here, have been able to do a nice job down low. So I think that that's enough for Ohio State to stay in this game. One that I think is going to be very slow-tempoed as well. Keep in mind, Purdue, even though they're really efficient, top 5 team in terms of points per possession, their team as well, that's outside the top 275 in terms of total possessions per game. So I total above 150, like the under to go with the points with Ohio State.
The other ranked team in action today, Michigan State, they don't need to win to get in the dance. However, the team they are facing, Indiana, is right now the final team in, according to Joe Lenardi over on Bracketology today. Right now, the Spartans are laying 2.5 in Indiana again. Feels like another must-have game for a home team here on one of the final weekends of conference play here. What do you make of this Spartans and Hoosiers matchup today?
No question about it. Losing at home to Northwestern was not great for Indiana, to say the least. But that said, I do not think that Indiana is going to be able to get this win. I said Michigan State is a 5-point favorite, so I'm willing to lay the number here with Michigan State. The defense has just traveled so well for them all season long. They are 20th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis away from them. Now, Indiana's actually been a really good two-point shooting team. They're a top 40 team with regards to their two-point shooting percentage. Not the strongest team, though, on the glass. And you've got a Michigan State team that they allow opponents in games played away from home to grab less than 19% of their missed shots as an offensive rebound. That is the number one mark in all of college basketball. Additionally, Michigan State has shot really well from three-point range away from them. I don't know how, but they always shoot about 32.7% from three-point range at home. That goes up north of 38% away from home. I think that they're going to do a good job against an Indiana team that, let's call it what it is. It feels like the air has went out of the balloon here over the last few weeks. They really don't have a lot of big men to stand up to the likes of Jackson Kaylor and company. I think that this is a good matchup for Michigan State. I like that under. I think that the defense holds up. And right now, seeing -2.5, -3 on Michigan State, I'm willing to lay it.
All right, we'll go from the big boys here to these smaller schools also in action today. And anytime you have a chance to bet on or against the Golden Griffins, kind of feels like you have to take that opportunity. And today we've got Quinnipiac heading into Canisius here to take on the Golden Griffins. What do you like in this spot, Greg?
Yep, I laid it with Quinnipiac. I was able to find a 6.5 overnight. I know that this was going to more like 7.5. Personally, I made my number 10.5 on Quinnipiac. They do a solid job in terms of generating turnovers. They're a top 125 team there. They're a top 60 team in terms of offensive rebound percentage. It's merely the percentage of your own missed shots that you grab as an offensive rebound. And for the Golden Griffins, they are a very slow team. They are outside the top 340 in terms of total possessions per game. Something else that they're outside the top 340 in points per possession on offense. They just don't find a way to be able to score the ball. You really only have two main scorers for them. Brian Adanja along Khalil Singleton, who combined for about 27.5 points per game. Nobody else gives you double figures for Quinnipiac, Amari Monroe. He's got so much versatility with 15-plus points, 8-plus rebounds per game. I think the Quinnipiac takes a niche this year. And that total of 138, I do like the under. Mentioned how slow this Golden Griffins team is. Mentioned how they don't put the ball in the basket. So I took a shot here on Quinnipiac right now, seeing that more around 7.5. And I like the under.
Now, one thing I love about your articles is that you include your numbers, what you expect the line to be, so you can see where there are bigger gaps in what the actual number is currently and what you set that number. When I'm looking through your article today, one of the games that jumps out to me here is the St. Peter's Peacocks heading into Marist to take on those Red Foxes here. And you've got Marist as a 6.5-point favorite. You've got the total well under the current number. So tell us why you like Marist and the under so much in this spot.
Oh, these are two very slow teams. Marist is 307th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. St. Peter's is 314th. And I will say this about St. Peter's. Top five team in terms of offensive rebound percentage away from home, which that's nice. But you know what's not nice? Being outside the top 320 in terms of both your two-point and your three-point shooting percentages. Like, this is a team that flat out does not shoot the ball well. And now you go up against one of the best defenses in all of college basketball. Marist is fifth in the country in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, and specifically their home games, with Justin Minardi's been able to do a nice job in terms of leading the point guard spot for Marist. And let's say that you're in a pressure spot. Let's say that this is like a 4 or 5 point game with a minute remaining with Marist in the lead. Guess what Marist does a really good job of? Free throw shooting. They shoot over 79% at the free throw line. That is a top five mark in the country. That is what you want to be betting on if you're taking one of these small favorites. You want to be avoiding the teams that are shooting like less than 70%. You don't know what you're getting there. You know exactly what you're getting out of this Marist team. They've been so rock solid on defense. Both of these teams play really slowly. So I like that under right now, seeing that at a 132. And I lead the 3.5 with Marist.
Now, the CAA going to be a one big league. I think we can all agree on that, but it's been a one big league in the past that has had darlings come out of it. Two of those, UNC Wilmington and Charleston, take on each other tonight. Currently two of the better teams inside the CAA. They will match up in Wilmington tonight. Right now, we see UNC Wilmington sitting right around a 4.5-point favorite, the total sitting around 144.5. Who do you like in this spot? And if either comes out of the conference, do you believe they have the opportunity to be able to be built to win one of these NCAA tournament games?
I'll answer the second question first. For Charleston, it's a very simple no. They are outside the top 320 in terms of their three-point shooting percentage. This is not the Charleston team that we were hoping for. Just dealt with so many injuries. They literally have a guy named Mr. Dean. His first name is Mr. Last name Dean. Only played 3 games this year. Came in from USC Upstate. I thought that was going to be one of their best players. Just never really materialized. Kobe Duggan missed half of the season as well. They have just been dealing with injuries upon injuries. I think UNC Wilmington has a good shot, though, of winning a game. They made the NCAA tournament last year. This team is so good on the glass. 24th in the country in terms of overall rebound percentage. Charleston is outside the top 125. And for UNC Wilmington, not only are they good on the glass, they're also a top 15 team in terms of opponents' three-point shooting percentage as well. They bring in a guy that was playing over in the ACC and Patrick Wessler, a 2-7-footer, who's been able to really give them some physicality down low. He's able to give you 9-plus rebounds per game. I like to call them the CAA Avengers because they brought in a whole bunch of guys like Christian May from Towson within the conference. Madison Dura was over at Monmouth. They just decided, hey, these guys have all had success in the CAA. Let's have them join our team. Like, that's a really good way of going about things in this NIL era, in my opinion. I said Wilmington as a 7.5-point favorite. Very deep, very complete team. And I like the under because they slow games down. They're outside the top 300 in terms of total possessions per game. I mentioned that great three-point shooting defense and the fact that Charleston, they do not throw it in there from three-point range. So took the under and I'm willing to lay with Wilmington, even as this is going up to 5 as I'm looking right now.
All right, we got about a minute left. I want to talk about your ratings first off. We've seen the angle put your ratings really into the spotlight there from Luke DaVista. I've been talking about how top-heavy this season is. Do your ratings have this season as a very top-heavy season when you're looking at possible contenders to win the title?
Oh, there's no question that you've got a big three, Arizona, Michigan, and Duke, but I'm really liking this Florida team right now, the way that they are dump-trucking teams, and if they get any three-point shooting whatsoever, they can be dangerous. And one team that has been a thorn in the side of so many of these big-time teams is Michigan State as well. keep in mind, they held Arkansas to fewer than 70 points. They gave Duke a really good tussle as well. So I do think that you really have a big three that should be your title favorites. But that said, I do think that there's an open spot for the Final Four for one of these teams if they get a little bit of a good draw, like a Michigan State.
He is Greg Peterson joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Greg, thank you very much for the time. Good luck on all your bets today.
Always appreciate it. Thank you.
Be back on the other side with horses and hockey. We'll be right back.